Okay, good morning, everybody. We're on. Today's daf is daf Chav Beis Menachos. We're on the back end of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, but we're going to start from the top of the Amud from Tanan Hassam, and we'll start here. Our discussion has been in the daf, salt, the salting of karbanos. Every karban requires salt, even though the Torah mentions salting only by the mincha, but the pasuk ends off with kol karbancha. Tasim Melach. No, I didn't say the pasuk correctly. I know I didn't. But anyway, the Torah tells us with very clear instruction that everything requires salt. And part of the discussion that we've had over the past couple of days is, what does everything mean? Of course, you know, the rule is, with every rule there's an exception, and so we obviously want to know, what are the exceptions to the rule? So wood, even the wood itself, according to Shita's Rebbe, requires salt. So we talked maybe in terms of wine doesn't require salt. The blood that's zorik on the mizbech, that doesn't require salt. If you don't hold like Rebbe, wood doesn't require salt, and the ketores also doesn't require salt. Okay, so those are a list of things that don't require salt, despite the fact that the Torah itself says kol karbancha takriv. There we go, kol karbancha takriv melach. Okay. We are in the top of the next Amud, and we are going to continue our discussion. We're going to, half the daf today is going to be more salt talk, and then the second half of today's daf is going to take us through Ta'arovitz. Okay, Tanan Hassan, we start on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, and we're four lines from the top of the Amud. We'll start with a Mishnah in Shkalim. We did Shkalim together in the daf Yomi. Shkalim is that one little masechta that's found in Seder Moed that doesn't have a Gemara to it. It does not have a Gemara Bavli to it. So what do? Well, not just we. It wasn't our idea. we're not that smart. So we took out the Gemara Yerushalmi, and we learned the Gemara Yerushalmi on Shkalim. It is the only time in the Daf Yomi cycle in 7.5 years that we open up a Gemara Yerushalmi. Why did they do that? You know, I don't have all the answers when it comes to how they set up the Daf Yomi cycle. But okay, so it got us learning Yerushalmi, the Gemara Yerushalmi. Tanan Hassan, we learned in the Mishnah and Shkalim. Ala melech vala etzim shiyah kohanim ne'osim bahem. So the Mishnah and Shkalim says, look, there's seven items where a Beis Din said, go ahead, maybe you can benefit from it. It's what's called Tanai Beis Din, part of the stipulation, part of the condition of Beis Din. Where Beis Din says, because these are things which are going to end up used anyway, so rather than them being used in Isser, because they belong to Hektesh, so we made a Tanai Beis Din. Not we, you and I, but Beis Din made a Tanai Beis Din that said it's okay. They are going to be sanctified with a Tanai, with a condition, and if they are sanctified with a condition, so as long as the condition is met, so then they could be, so to say, deconsecrated.
So the Tanai Beis Din is that you sanctify it with a condition.
Right. Beis Din does it. Meaning they are default sanctified through the Tanai Beis Din. So Tanan Hasam, so we learned in the Mishnah over there, Ala Melech, Ala Eitzim Shiva, Kornim Neisim Mehem. So, two of the seven things mentioned, don't ask me the other five, two of the seven things that are mentioned are salt and wood. Salt and wood, through Tanai Beis Din, we are allowed to get benefit from them. Now, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shenu Ela Lekarbanam, Aval La'achila Lo. Okay, and then for a good part of today's daf, we're going to be sitting on Shmuel's statement. Shmuel says that's true for karban, but it's not true for achila. Okay, so right. So which means what? So again, let's just go over what we know so far. Mishnah in Shkalim that says that you can benefit from salt, and then you have a limitation of Shmuel. Shmuel says that's true for karban; it's not true for achila. Now, kasak adatcha. So the Gemara says, "Look, here's our havamina. Myla karbanam lemloch karbanam." So maybe karbanam means that they can salt their karban using the salt that is stored in the Beis Hamikdash, and lechol means achilas kachim, eating karban. So the Gemara says it's a havamina. So in the havamina, which we know we're going to reject, but let's just understand the havamina. In the havamina, we're thinking now that the salting which is okay for the kohanim to use is to salt their karban, and the eating which is not okay means they can't salt the parts of the karban that they're going to eat. There's chatas, there's asham, right? There's their own carbon if they're going to bring their own carbon. And that, they can't use the salt. They can't salt their meat with that. So the Gemara says, that can't be. That cannot be. So the Gemara says, look, I'm telling you, and we'll source everything, but I'm telling you that they can use the salt even for their hides. We know that every time you bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, even if it's a carbon olah, hides go to the Kohanim. The hides go to the Kohanim, they take it home, they can make a new pair of shoes with the hides. Now, in order to process hides, because every one of us know the exact process of how to process hides, okay, not everybody. So it's salt. Salting of the hides. It's one of the 39 malachas of Shabbos. It's called Ibud, with an ayin. Right? So that's the salting of the hides. So you need salt in order to process the hides. And we know that Kohanim, we're going to source it in just a moment, can take salt of the Beis HaMikdash and use it to salt their hides. So the Gemara says now, impossible, untenable. They can use salt to salt their hides, and they can't use salt to salt their meats to eat it? It can't be. The Tanya we learned on a Brisa there are three places where salt is stored. Number one, Belishka Samelach. There's a Lishka. There's a chamber. Right, in one of the chambers over there, there's a Lishkas HaMelech where salt is stored. Valgabe Akevish, and there's another place where salt is kept, and that's on the ramp. Over Rosh Hashemizbech and on top of the Mizbech. But Lishkas HaMelech Shesham Mochen Aros Kachim. So the Lishkas HaMelech, that salt, what was used? That salt was used for the salting of the hides. Good. Algabe Akevish Shesham Mochen Esayivarim. Mochen Esayivarim. Limbs that are about to go up onto the Mizbech and be burnt on top of the Mizbech, the salt that's kept on the ramp is used to salt the limbs that are going to go up onto the Mizbech. And what about Rosh Hashanah Mizbech? What's the salt on the top of the Mizbech used for? Shisham Ochen HaKamatz V'Alavon V'Aktaras U'Minchas Kohanim U'Minchas Kohen Mashiach U'Minchas Nesachim V'Olas Ha'Of. Long list of things which are going to get salted on the top of the Mizbeach. The comets of every mincha, the lavona, which here according to this brisa, lavona does get salted. Okay, I know I said the beginning of today's daf, if you play the tape. I know I said in the beginning of today's daf that the lavona does not get salted, so you should know that's subject to a debate. It's a machlokas. Here it says that the lavona is salted. When we get to Croesus, I believe we'll see the machlokas again. Anyway, lavona does get salted. Lavona. I didn't mean that by lavona. I meant it by ketores. Ketores is subject to a machlokas whether or not it gets salted. Minchas kohanim. Every mincha of a kohen gets totally burnt. So where does it get salted? On the top of the mizbeach. Minchas kohen mashiach. Same story. That's what we call the minchas chavitim and minchas nesachim. Right. Again, if you play the tape again and you listen to me from the beginning of today's daf, you heard me say that Nesachim do not get salted. Again, that's subject to a debate. Okay? And finally, Ola Sa'of, the bird Ola, which it doesn't stop on the ramp. There's no layaway on the ramp. It's taken right up to the top of the Mizbeach. So again, it's salted on the top of the Mizbeach. Again, the point is, let's not lose the forest. Lose the trees. Whatever. Whatever. Let's not get lost. Okay, the point is like this, that we can use salt of the Beis HaMikdash to salt the hides of the Kohanim. So you can't possibly suggest that for the hides of the Karbanos I could use salt for, but they can't use it to salt the meat of carbon that they're going to eat. It just can't be. So, Elamai LeKarbanam. So now we're going to give new pshat in Shmuel. By the way, it's interesting, by the way. We're looking, it's not like we're looking for pshat in a brisa. We're looking for pshat in Shmuel. Okay, but still, Shmuel made the statement and we have to understand it. So, my lekarbanam, la'achilas karbanam. And my la'achila, la'achila dechulan. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's our pshat. When Shmuel says that the salt of the Beis HaMikdash can be used for carbon, it means eating of carbon. Good. Okay, that part's good. And when it says you can't eat using the salt of the Beis HaMikdash, it means eating chulin, non-consecrated foods. Okay. So the Gemara says, wait a second. chulin pshita, my bal hasam. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Shmuel's telling me that I can't use salt to the Beis HaMikdash if the Kohanim, for example, bring their own food into the Beis HaMikdash, right? The wife packs and bags them, you know, a little lunch, and they bring their own food into the Beis HaMikdash, they can't use salt for that food. So the Gemara says, what are you doing bringing chulin into the Azara? Right? If the wife packs them lunch, so they... they'll...
What if the 10% or whatever?
Now, it is true that you, when you eat carbon, you do eat chulin and you do eat truma, right? And you do eat truma. And the reason why you do that is because when you eat your carbon, you want to eat it al hasova. This is a concept that we're going to see time and again. And that is that when you eat carbon, you eat it in a dignitary fashion. You eat it respectfully. You cannot eat carbon while you're famished. Right? You have to be already at a point where, you know, it's good, it's exciting, but I'm not going to eat it like a starving individual. That is not the way to eat carbon. Carbon is eaten with royalty, with dignity. The same thing, by the way, applies to carbon Pesach, obviously, which is why, not for now, but just, you know, getting us ready for Pesach, which is why on the 14th day of Nisan, it's not Yontif, it's Erev Yontif, you bring two carbonas. You bring a carbon Pesach, and you bring another Shlamim. We call it Chagiga, but just between us friends, it's not really a Chagiga. Right? The Chagiga comes on Yontif itself. The carbon that's born on the 14th day of Nisan, it's what the Gemara calls Chagigas Yadalit. It's the carbon Chagiga which is born the 14th. Why do I bring a second carbon that day? And it's not even the real Chagiga. The answer is what I just explained. Because carbonas have to be eaten al hasova. It has to be eaten while you're full. Not full, but your tank is like three quarters full, if you will.
Do you have to be a little bit full to eat the Chagiga too?
That's right. Right, because the Chagiga is also a carbon. Okay, Aaron, it's a good point. It is also carbon.
Means like for Pesach, when Chagiga, everybody bring it, the Kohanim have
right. So I'm just telling you, right, in other words, you know on your Seder plate, you have the egg, and everyone asks, what does the egg represent? So you say it represents a carbon Chagiga. But now, we're all a little wiser now. It's not really the carbon Chagiga, it's the Chagiga's Yadal. It's the Shlamim that's born the 14th day of Nisan. Okay. I don't know how many people around the Seder table is going to be really that interested in that piece of information, but we're all a little bit wiser. Anyway, so the Gemara says like this. So afilo hachi melech tekashim lo yavin lohu. So the Gemara says, but still, okay, now we understand. Right, their wives can bag lunch for them, and they can bring the chulin lunch into the azara. And the reason why they're going to do that is so that when they finally do eat the carbon, they're not going to be eating it. They'll be eating it a la sova. They'll be somewhat full when they're eating the carbon. So the Gemara says like this. So good. Now we finally have a pshat and Shmuel. Okay. So salt of the Beis HaMikdash. So Kohanim can use it to salt the hides of the carbon ola. Good. Kohanim can use it to salt the carbon that they're going to eat. Also good. What they can't do with that salt is that they can't use it to salt chulin food that they brought from their home. Okay. Amar Ravina Ravashi, Hakanami Mistabra. The Gemara says this is the correct pshat. This is good pshat. Now why? So the Gemara says, because let's go back to our first pshat, which we didn't like, which we rejected, which was, well, what does it mean when it says karbanam? It means to salt the carbon. So the Gemara says, time of asni bay, halo asni beizdin, lo? The Gemara says, because what does the Mishnah in Shkalim teach us? Go all the way back to the beginning of today's daf. The Mishnah in Shkalim tells us that they can use the salt because of Tanai beizdin. Because of a special condition that was made by Beis Din, where Beis Din essentially said, look, it belongs to Hekdesh, but with our Tanai, with our condition. So that if necessary, you know, Kohanim can use it. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. What Tanai Beis Din do we need over here? Hashtali Yisrael Yavinan, Lekohanim lo Yavinan? I don't understand. Salt can be used for the carbon of a non-Kohen. Right? If, in other words, if I bring a carbon from my own home, I'm not a Kohen, I bring a carbon from my own home, so do I have to supply salt? And the answer is going to be no. And we'll see that very clearly in just a moment. The answer is going to be no. If I don't have to bring salt for my own carbon, you think the Kohanim need to bring salt for their carbon? Right? And they're more shayach. They're more shayach to the Beis HaMikdash. To Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Yachla ha'omer harei alai mincha yavi melach mitoch beiso kiderach shemevi levona mitoch beiso. Look, I have to, when I bring a carbon mincha, I make a commitment that I'm going to bring a carbon mincha. So I got to bring the flour, I got to bring the oil. It comes out of my pocket. I got to bring lavona. That also comes out of my own pocket. I might have thought that I need to bring salt. Vidinu, nemra hevi mincha vehevi malach. Look at the way the Torah describes the bringing of the salt. It uses the word hevi, right? Right? Be minchas marcheshes. No. Carbon ratio takrivos on the Hashem on mizbech lo yalu rechem. Carbon mincha manach timlach velo tash mizmach bishma. Yeah, I'm looking for the verb hevi, and I'm not having success finding it.
Took home.
It's somewhat of an issue. Hevi tzimzav aleitim asher al ha'esh. Maybe the Gemara is not focusing on the word hevi. Maybe that's the pshat. Okay, sorry. So anyway, I'm sorry. Nemra hevi mincha vehevi melach. Nemra hevi mincha vehevi levona. Yeah, it's not about the word hevi. It's just about the issue. Right. Okay, I'm back. So ma levona mitoch beiso af melach mitoch beiso. So the Gemara says, look, I might have thought I got to bring levona out of my own pocket. I got to pay for the levona. So if I'm paying for the lavona, don't you think that I should be paying for the melach, for the salt as well? Oklach l'derech zu. On the other hand, nemra hevi mincha vehevi melach, v'nemra hevi mincha vehevi eitzim. Now what are you going to tell me? I got to bring the wood, I got to supply wood, meaning when I bring a carbon to the base of Mikdash, I got to pay for the wood? Now that's not true. Ma eitzim yishol tzibor, af melach shol tzibor. Wood is communal. That comes out of the public money. Now I know public money is me also, but it's not the same, right? That's my machitz, it's a shekel. That's my tax that I pay, but that's not the same. It's a different accounting. So the Gemara says, look, wood comes from communal money. Maybe salt should come from communal money as well. So in other words, at this point in time, the Brisa says, I don't know. Meaning I can hear an argument either way. Salt should come out of my own pocket, or salt should come out of communal money. Nira lemi domeh. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's think about this. Donim davar hanog b'chol hazvachim, mi davar hanog b'chol hazvachim, v'al tochiach levona sheino nehegetz b'chol hazvachim. So let's argue. So one argument could be, look, levona is not universal. Levona is only applicable to a mincha. So if I dedicate a mincha, so I got to bring levona because levona is specific to the mincha. Salt is universal. Salt goes on everything, much like wood is universal. I need wood for every carbon, therefore it's communal. I need salt for every carbon, therefore it's communal. Okay, good. That's a great argument. Oklach l'derech zu. On the other hand, danin davar habayim abekliyachan, midavar habayim abekliyachan, vayochiach etzim sheino bayim abekliyachan. On the other hand, salt goes into the same keli as the flour, as the oil, as the lavona. Salt's going into that keli. Wood doesn't go into that keli. So in other words, even though it's true, salt goes on everything, but in the world of mincha, salt goes into that utensil. So maybe from a accounting standpoint, from a whose pocket does it come out of standpoint, maybe it should come from my own pocket, since it's in the same kli, the salt is in the physical kli, as the other ingredients of my mincha. Okay, so arguments are now on the table. We have an argument in both directions. Tamalomer bris melech olam hu ulahalan omer me'ez b'nei Yisrael bris olam ma'lahala mishal tzibor avkan mishal tzibor. So, arguments do not provide us the answer. Psukim and drushos provide us the answer. We have a bris mentioned over here. We have a bris mentioned by the lechem aponim. Lechem aponim, the Torah uses the word bris. By lechem aponim, that's communal, undeniably communal. the lechem apanim is paid for by communal money, it's not out of anyone's pocket, therefore the salt comes out of communal funds. Okay, and all that just to get us to the point where now we know that if a Yisrael brings a karban, salt comes from public. Salt is used for Yisrael's karban. If salt is used for Yisrael's karban, for sure salt is going to be used for a Kohen's karban. So this is just further support that the first suggestion that we made in Shmuel, that when it says that you can use salt as Tanai Beis Din for karban of a Kohen, it can't mean for the actual karban. It can't. Because if I can use salt for the karban Yisrael, I could for sure use salt for the karban of a Kohen. Further evidence that the correct pshat in Shmuel is karban is la'achila. Okay. Good. Just one. Well, give me a moment. So, amale Rav Mordechai l'Ravashi, hachi kama Rav Sheshes b'rei d'Rav Ida, lo nitzricha ela l'ben Bukhri. So the Gemara now is going to suggest, no. Meaning, this last argument that you just provided for me is not compelling argument. Meaning, that the Mishnah in Shkalim talks about Tanai Beis Din. And Tanai Beis Din is what allows the Kohanim to use the salt. The Gemara is going to tell us that I'm going to make a difference, and I'm going to explain to you why it is in fact necessary that I need Tanai Beis Din for the carbon of a Kohen, even though that for the carbon of a Yisrael, not a problem. I could use the salt for carbon of a Yisrael, and for the carbon of a Kohen, I need Tanai Beis Din. And I'm going to explain to you why there's a difference of a carbon of a Kohen versus a carbon of Yisrael. And I'm going to do so in the context of Ben Bukhri. Who's Ben Bukhri? What does he have to do with anything over here? Ditnan. We go back now to another Mishnah in Shkalim. Now, you know the first day of Adar, they're going to come around and they're going to start collecting the machatzis shekel. They make an announcement, which is why we read Parsha Shkalim, the Shabbos, either on or before Rosh Chodesh Adar, to tell everybody, okay, it's tax time, and everyone's got to give a machatzis shekel. Now, when we say everybody, so first of all, we mean only the males. Females don't have to give the machatzis shekel.
No Kohanim.
Okay? How about Kohanim? Okay, Dan, this is important. Listen carefully. So, So when they come around and they start collecting the machatzis shekel, so there's a machlokas tanayim, whether or not Kohanim have to participate in the machatzis shekel and give the half shekel. Ben Bukhri was of the opinion, Ben Bukhri is of the opinion that they don't have to give the machatzis shekel. They're exempt. Right? The Kohanim. Look at me. I'm a Kohen. I don't have to give the machatzis shekel. Now, they make an argument. I'm going to explain a lot of things outside, and then we'll read it inside because it's a little bit complicated. It's not that bad. They make the following argument. The Kohanim, that is. You want me to give the machatzis shekel? I can't give the machatzis shekel. You know when the tax collector comes. So obviously we do our best. And our accountants do the work for us and explain to us why I don't have to pay taxes. Okay, legal loopholes, if you will. And the Kohanim say like this: What do you want from me? If you're going to ask me to give the machatzis a shekel, think about it. What's going to now happen is that the public money, some of the public money, is going to come out of Kohanim. Okay, now here's the argument. You know that if I bring a mincha by myself and pay for it out of pocket, what happens to that mincha? Kulo taktar. That mincha is burnt in its entirety. Because that's the halacha. The halacha is that a mincha that which is brought by a kohen is burnt in its entirety. So what do you want from me now? You're going to collect the machatzis shekel from me, and that's going to go into public money, and now you're going to buy with that the lechem upon him. You're going to buy with that the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, you're going to buy from that the Karban Omer for the second day of Pesach, and then I'm going to eat it? In other words, if the money is coming from public, and I'm contributing, so then it could be that money that you use to buy, the Lechem upon him, the Shtei Alechem, the Omer, right? It could be that came from me. And you know the halacha is that a mincha that's purchased from a kohen has to be totally burnt. So you know what? Why don't we just not have that problem altogether? I won't give the machetzis a shekel. I'm excused from the machetzis a shekel. Okay. And that is the opinion of Ben Bukhri. Okay? And according to Ben Bukhri, kohanim don't have to give the machetzis a shekel. All right. Now, I'm going to do this all outside, and then I'll read it inside, just to make sure that we're clear in terms of our understanding. So according to Ben Bukhri, now you understand Shmuel. And what we thought, meaning even though we reject this Havamina, but it's now a pretty good Havamina. I might have thought that salt, now where's salt purchased from? Communal money. Salt can be used for the carbon of a Yisroel. Sure, they contributed to the communal money. But salt can't be used for the carbon of a Kohen. Why? Because according to Ben Bukhri, they didn't contribute to the Machetzis HaShekel. Hence, I need Tanai Beis Din. Okay, that's going to be basically, I just packaged it, That's going to be the argument that the Gemara now employs in terms of why I would need Tanai Beis Din. Okay, I'll read all this inside. And we'll do so pretty quickly, but we'll read all this inside. Unfortunately, Dan, the halacha is not like Ben Bukhri. Okay.
Out of a census, right?
Well, aside from the census. So Amalei Rav Mordechai, it's the first wide line on the Amud. L'Rav Ashiachi, Kamar Rav Shishabrei, the Rav Yidol HaNitzrachel, Ben Bukhri, did not, we learned in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yehuda, hey, Ben Bukhri, B'yavne, Kokon Shoshokol HaNuchote. Ben Bukhri says, look, if a coin wants to give, that's okay. But he doesn't have to give. Now, the Gemara will address the question at the bottom of the Amud. Well, what do you mean? If he can't contribute, and remember, his whole argument, his whole justification, so then why does he even have the option? Okay, hold that question, put that question on the back burner. Eino chote, amala Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai lo, ki ela kol kohen she'eino shoko chote. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, no, just the opposite. The kohen needs to give. And kol kohen she'eino shokel, and if the kohen doesn't give to the machetzis HaShekel, he is a sinner. Ela she'eino kohanim dorshim mikra zel atzman. But you know those kohanim. You know them. They are, right? They justify, right? And what's their justification? So I said this already. Chol minchas kohen kalil tiyeh lo sochal. Every mincha of a kohen, kalil tiyeh, is going to be totally burnt. Cannot be eaten. Hol v'omer she'alechem v'lechem upon him shelanu hi. If we contribute. So what does that mean? That means that the shtei alechem, the lechem upon him, the omer, all are coming from us. Hech ne'achalim. And how are we going to be able to eat it? Okay, fine. Period. Okay, and that's their justification. And by the way, the Gemara doesn't say this here. The Gemara in Yushami says this. Why are they wrong? Why are Kohanim wrong about their argument? It sounds like a reasonable argument. And the answer is that once money goes into the public, it's not Kohen money anymore. It's public money. Correct.
Transformed.
Fungible. Okay, attorney at law. Okay, so v'leben bukhri came into lechachil alam echayiv lasuye ki maisi nami chotehu. So the Gemara now, let's take the question off the back burner. Okay, so according to Ben Bukhri, so he says if kohanim want to, they can. What do you mean, Ben Bukhri? You're the one who says they can't, and they justify in their argument. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, even according to Ben Bukhri, if they say, look, it's not my money anymore, I'm totally giving this over to the tzibor. So the money basically changes form. It goes from the individual to the community. Now, the Gemara spells out what we said. Salka das kamina. Now we'll understand. Kizach le rachman li yisrael dislay lishka. Yeah. So now I can understand the difference between the carbon of a yisrael and the carbon of a kohen. You see, because according to Ben Bukhri, kohanim don't contribute. So for the Yisrael who contribute, so for sure they can enjoy the salt because they paid for it. But Kohanim, who don't pay according to Ben Bukhri, So lo zachalu rachmanaso. So therefore they can't use the salt. Kamash malan. That's why I need Tanai Beis Din. Tanai Beis Din comes and tells me. Beis Din was aware of that. And Beis Din said to Kohanim, go ahead. Use the salt even though you didn't pay for it. Okay. Good. That is really the end of that discussion. So again, a Mishnah in Shkalim that tells us that everyone can enjoy the salt, even the Kohanim. Shmuel's statement of Kohanim can use it for Karba, not for Achila. And what is the correct pshat in Shmuel? So although the Gemara kind of resurrected the Hava Mina, but really the truth of the matter is that the simple pshat in Shmuel and the one that the Gemara kind of is happy with is that they could use the salt for the carbon, meaning for the eating of carbon. They can't use the salt for the lunches that their wives pack for them from their home. Okay, that's pretty much the conclusion of Shmuel, and that takes us through the end of this part of the Gemara.
They can't use it for their own things, but according to
According to Ben Bukhri?
Yeah.
So the Gemara just brought in Ben Bukhri to kind of resuscitate and resurrect the rejected Havamina. Meaning the Havamina was that carbon means actual carbon, and Achila means eating of carbon. That was the Havamina and Shmuel, and the Gemara didn't like it. But we made Tchias HaMeisim. We resurrected that Havamina, and the reason why we resurrected it is because according to Ben Bukhri, they're not contributing. And since they're not contributing, I might have thought that they can't use it even for the carbon because they didn't contribute. Right. So the salt's not coming out of their pocket. So, right.
Oh, so then they can't use it for personal use?
No, for sure no. They can't forget. They can't use it for personal use, but they can't even use it for the carbon.
No, by the Havamina, by the conclusion.
The conclusion is they can use it for the carbon. Look, we don't even possibly like Ben Bukhri to begin with. Okay, so it was just an attempt to resurrect the Havamina. But the truth of the matter is, we don't even pass them like Ben Bukhri, which means that Kohanim do contribute, they do pay for the salt. So if Yisraelim can use the salt, Kohanim for sure could use the salt. We're gonna come back to our the bottom line, right? Like Dr. Zagi likes to say, bottom line is, Kohanim have to contribute to the Machatzis HaShekel. They could use the salt. They could use the salt for the carbon. The only thing they can't use the salt for is their lunches that they brought from home. Okay. All right. Baruch Atah HaMelech HaShekel
B'Yirah.
Okay. Now, one of the things that we mentioned on the previous Amud is that wood for sure is communal. Meaning nobody's expected. When they bring the carbon to the base of Mikdash, they got it right. The Kohen's going to look at them. Okay, where's the wood? where's the wood? Are you kidding? I got to bring the wood? So the...
It's a whole room over.
Come on. I didn't... Right. Okay. The Eitzim. Dipshita Leilatana de Michel Tzibor mean Nalan. How do I know that wood is coming from the communal funds? The Tanya, so here we have a Braisa. And this is where the Mantle discussion comes up. Okay? Yeah, we spoke about before we went on air. The Tanya, Yachal Home, Hare Alayola, Yavi Eitzim Mitoch Beso, Kederk Shemevi, Nisachim Mitoch Beso. Look, Nisachim, no, that comes out of their pocket. The oil, the wine, the flour that comes out of Nisachim. That they do have to bring from the home. Tamalomar ala eitzim asher ala eish asher ala mizbeach. Wood, fire, mizbeach. Right? String those three things together. Ma mizbeach mishal tzibur af eitzim. So the mizbeach, right? Obviously, mizbeach is communal. Obviously. I mean, the mizbeach is paid for by communal funds. So wood also, the eish mishal tzibur. So the wood is for the communal and the fire is communal. Right, Dr. Rubin, we go back to the point that we made yesterday. Fire is not really a tangible item. So it's I'm not 100% clear what the Gemara means when it says that the fire is communal. But okay, but the Gemara says it. Right, the wood is communal and fire is communal. Huh?
I was the fire man.
What? Rubbing sticks?
Right, in other words, but...
It's come from something.
But the fire is not a real tangible item. It's the wood which is a tangible item. Divrei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Now, that is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar ben Shemoa is going to come to the same conclusion, but using a different route. Omer, ma'amizbech shalom neshamish bohejot. Look, Mizbeach has to be made from never used stones. Okay, I'm not sure if that was the best sentence, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, so right, totally unprocessed, unused stones. You can't go and recycle for the Mizbeach. Same thing is true for the wood and the fire. In other words, it has to come not from anybody, it has to be totally raw material. So Shalona Shamash Bam Hedja. It brings us to the same conclusion. Meaning if I bring wood, it could be that I used it already. Not could be, probably did. I probably used it already. So that gets us to the place where wood has to come from the Beis HaMikdash. They're going to buy it raw material. So the Gemara says, my Beinai, but is there going to be a difference between opinion one and opinion two of the Bright? So the Gemara says, yeah, Ika Beinayu, Chadati Vatike. Let's say I bring new wood, raw material. So the Gemara says, Chadati Vatike.
No,
I'm sorry, correct. My Beinayu Chadati. Vatike, the Gemara says, what do you mean? You mean that old wood can't be used? Vaksiv, we quoted this pasuk not that long ago in Zvachim. Vaksiv, Ayomar, Arvana, El David, Yikach, Vayala, Duni, Amelach, Atob, Einav. Okay, we've seen this already. The Aaron coming back to David HaMelech, the Aaron was kept by this individual by the name of Arvana, and he says, look, not only take the Aaron, but take my animals, use the animals for an Ola, and take my Morigim, it's a threshing tool, and the clay habakar, and use it for the wood. Okay, he's basically saying, use the tools I used and use that for the wood. So hachanami b'chadati. So the Gemara answers very simply, never used. Wood that happens to be, it's not pashup shot in the psukim, but it's wood that was never used. My morigim, and the Gemara goes to the discussion that we've seen already. What is morigim? Amar ula mita shatarbal. My mita shatarbal. Amar Yehuda iza de korkisa. De dashu bay. Dishtaya. It's a threshing tool. Okay? I haven't changed on my definition. That's what it is. I'm Rav Yosef Maikra, Hani Samtich Lamare, Charutz Chadash Baal Pifios, Tidosh Harim. Now that we know that the Marag is a threshing tool, so now we can go to a Pasuk in Yeshayahu, and we can understand Pshat in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. I will make you a Moreg Charutz Chadash. You will be like a threshing tool. Baal pifios, you'll be sharp-edged. Tidosh harim, you're going to thresh mountains. This is a forecast of Yeshayahu in future times when we will defeat all of our enemies. Good? Now we have pshat in the pasuk. Okay, so, right, conclusion, so for the first two parts of today's daf, number one, we talked about Kohanim using the soul for the carbon. Okay, pretty much the conclusion is, of the Gemara, they can use salt both. They could use salt for salting the hides of the carbon. They could use salt for eating of the carbon. They could use the salt. The only thing they can't use the salt for is chulin. If they bring chulin into the Beis HaMikdash, we talked about what are they doing bringing chulin to the Beis HaMikdash. The answer was so that they would, when they get to eating carbon, they will be mostly full, so that they eat the carbon in a state of dignity and royalty. Okay, for that they can't use the salt. Discussion number two was when you bring wood. Wood comes from communal. Wood doesn't come from individuals. So the reason why, so the Gemara give two explanations as to why. Number one, because it's just like the Mizbech. Mizbech comes from communal, wood comes from communal. Reason number two is because wood has to be raw material. If I bring wood, which is recycled, I can't use that. There is going to be a difference between those two opinions. What if I bring new wood to the Beis HaMikdash? Can that be used according to opinion number one? No, because it's not communal. According to opinion number two, yes, you can. Okay, and which of these two positions are the accepted position? I'm not 100% sure about. I don't know.
Incidents that they brought some private families brought wood.
Right. So that was in Shkolim we talked about that, where they actually families were responsible. You're going to bring wood now, and you're going to bring wood now. But it could be that the wood that they bring, they actually, like we spoke about earlier, they actually are going to dedicate that, they're going to give that to the Beis HaMikdash, meaning the value of the wood, they're going to say basically, okay, now it's no longer ours, it's yours. They give it to communal funds.
In terms of korbanot that the Kohen should have to use in the Azor itself and not take home, which korbanot are there?
Not take it home, but just eat it, meaning eat it. Eat it in the Beis HaMikdash. But the point is that they could take the salt, no, go right in.
The amount of it that they have to eat might be tremendous.
Okay, so
if you have to eat Kaddish for Chag,
on the operating budget of the Beis HaMikdash, the salt bill is going to be a big bill.
No, I'm not talking about the salt itself, but physically, can they eat that enough?
Yeah, the assumption, I assume yes.
They have to eat. When people bring it, they have to eat it, right?
Chagiga is a shlamim. That the owners eat that, not the kohanim. Kohanim only eat in terms of meat, chatas and asham. Chatas meat, asham meat. They do get parts of the shlamim, but okay. Okay, next part of today's daf is Tarovis. Okay, we're in familiar ground. We did an entire parak of this discussion in Zvachim. By the way, everything in Menachos here comes hard and fast. Meaning, we're on daf Chav Beis, right? That's today's daf, and we've already covered the pigel discussion and we did the Machshava discussion and. You know, all the things that in Zvachim took a while to get through, right? We're up to page 22 and we're now up to Tarovis already. Okay? But look, after going through Zvachim, Baruch Hashem, after going through Zvachim, like this is, you know, you got the basics already. Nis'arev komtza b'kometz chaverta. So the Mishnah now talks about Tarovis. So what if my kometz gets mixed up with my friend's kometz? Okay, so in other words, Cohen took his hand, fist, put into the carbon, took out a fistful of my mincha, and places it into a bowl. Remember, that's important, the placement into the second bowl. And then Nachamol did that with my friend, and the two got mixed together into one larger bowl.
Do you use the same clichés for both people?
I don't know how, right.
By mistake.
It's funny, you read my mind. I'm not 100% sure how this happened. Obviously not intentional. No, we didn't want this to happen. B'minchas kohanim, b'minchas kohanim Mashiach, b'minchas nesachim. And in all these cases, it got mixed up with, now the common denominator with all these types of menachos, they are burnt on the Mizbeach. Minchas kohanim Mashiach, minchas kohanim, minchas nesachim, all of them are burnt on the Mizbeach. So, basically, it's mincha getting mixed up with mincha, where they're all going to go to the same place. The Mishnah says, kshera, it's fine. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. It's not always going to be fine. Why? B'minchas kohen Mashiach, b'minchas nesachim, sula. Okay, and, well, let me first read the Mishnah and I'll explain. Shezu b'lilaso ava, v'zu b'lilaso racha. The hain bolos zumizum. Okay? A little recipe talk. Okay? Why not? we're almost done for today. A standard mincha has a ratio of one log of shemen, which is about 16 ounces of oil, approximately, and one isaron of flour. I don't know how much an isaron is.
43.
What did it say?
43 eggs.
43 eggs.
It's a 1 to 7 ratio.
1 to 7? Oh, that's good. I never knew that. Okay, good. All right, so that is good. So that word operates on a 1 to 7 ratio of oil to flour. Okay.
Approximately 6 eggs to
43
eggs.
Okay, it's fine. I'm not, you know, we're not actually doing it yet. when we actually do it, we'll worry more about the exact measurements. Okay, so it's about 1 to 7 ratio. Okay, that's a standard mincha. Okay, the mincha of the Kohen Gadol, okay, and the mincha of the Nesachim operate with three log of shemen to one isaron, okay, huh? So it's obviously going to be more of a batter, okay? It'll pour, right?
If more you liquid than
right, thickness. Right? It's going to be in terms of viscosity more liquidy than that of the standard mincha. So, Rabbi Yehuda's argument now is basically going to go like this. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if I have a standard mincha, or a komitz of a standard mincha, where my ratio of oil to flour is 1 to 7, and that gets mixed up with another mincha, where the oil-flour ratio is going to be more oil, a lot more oil, 3 times more oil, so then what's going to end up happening is that in my komets, in my standard komets, I'm now going to have increased oil. Okay. Now, Rashi says over here, actually, the distribution of oil now in this mixture is going to go both ways. Meaning it's going to affect both the komets and the minchas kohen gadol. Rashi says, I'm going to just paraphrase, you can look inside Rashi to see this inside. Rashi says that actually both of the minchas that are mixed now together, the komets and the mincha of the kohen gadol, are both going to be disqualified. Why? Because in my komets now, I got too much oil, because oil from my three log mincha gets right, seeps in and gets and now my komets gets saturated with more oil. That's riba shmana, that's too much oil. And then let's go in the other direction. My mincha kohen gadol now is going to get depleted in oil, and it's not going to have enough oil, and therefore it's going to be meat shmana. So Rashi says both are going to be pasul. Now Rashi does point out that when you read the Mishnah, there's a problem with the wording of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah talks in Lashon Yachid, right? I'm going to read Rabbi Yehuda again. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'minchas kohen mashiach b'minchas nesachim psula. Now Rashi does contend that the Mishnah should say the word psulot if both become disqualified. Now Rashi acknowledges that's a problem, but Rashi says, look, the entire Mishnah was going in Lashon Yachid. Mm-hmm. So, just for the purposes of symmetry, the Mishnah continue going b'lashon yachid, but truth be told, both become disqualified. Now, not every Rishon agrees with Rashi, and the Shita Mekubetz disagrees with Rashi, but for now, Dayenu. In other words, just know that Rashi says that both become disqualified according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tanan Hasam, I'm just going to quickly run through the next bit of Gemara. As we're all familiar with this next bit of Gemara, we saw this in Zvachim already. It's going to come up again in Chul, and this is basics. Tanan Hasam, Danshin Nisarv B'mayim. If blood gets mixed up with water, Im Yesh B'maris Dam, if it has the appearance of blood kasher, Nisarv B'yayin, if blood gets mixed up with wine, Ronoso Kiluhu Mayim. So what do I do? I do a substitution. I substitute the wine for water. In other words, not actual, but I look at it as if the wine is water, and if I could still see the appearance of blood, good. In other words, the blood is not nisbatel. Nisar bedam behema or bedam chaya. What if it gets mixed up with other bloods? Again, substitution. Rono sokilu humain. I look at the other bloods as if they're water, and if I could still see the appearance of the blood that needed to be sprinkled on the mizbeach, go forward. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein dam mevatel dam. Rabbi Yehuda says there's never bittul. Why? Min bimino. I'm Rav Yochanan Shnei Mikra Chadarshu. Look, both of them turn to the same pasuk. Here we are now at the core of the discussion of min bimino. According to Rav Yehuda, min bimino in obato. According to the Chachamim, no, there's going to be bittul even by min bimino. Where's the source of this machlokas? The pasuk says, v'lakach midama par midama seir, that on Yom Kippur you're going to take blood of the bull and blood of the goat, right? There are two karbanos where the bloods are going to be taken into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and ultimately these bloods are going to get mixed together. Hadavar yadu, everyone knows. Everybody knows. Shedamu shal par meruba midamu shal seir. More bull blood, there's going to be more goat blood. Bull is just a bigger animal. And Rabbanan Savre, and so the Chachamim say, Mikan La'ol and Shem Mevatlin Zedzeh. And what happens? These bloods get mixed together, and they're still considered blood of the bull and blood of the goat. In other words, blood does not negate blood. So the Chachamim say, what's your takeaway point? What do I learn from here? Says the Chachamim that when it comes to karbanos, there's no bittul. But in every other arena of halacha, there is going to be bittul. So in other words, the Chachamim just simply point to this and say, good, Min b'mino in a bottle, but only when it comes to kachim. The Rabbi, wait, let me run through this. Rabbi Yehuda Savar mikan min b'mino shein a bottle, and Rabbi Yehuda says min b'mino is in a bottle. Now Rabbanan Savar mikan la olin shein mevalet zev zevadim mishum de min b'mino. So the Gemara now is just going to ask some very simple questions in which the Gemara will not have answers for, which is according to the Chachamim. So why aren't you generating the halacha min b'mino? So Iashmina min b'mino v'lashmina olin kad. So the Gemara says, well, the Pesukim are talking about karbanos. So the Gemara says, well, how, maybe the Torah is telling us that I need both criteria. Both, it has to be karban and min bimino kasha. And the Gemara says, okay, that's a good question. And let's move on. Rav Yehuda, Savra mikan min b'mino she'eno bata, v'dilma mishum de olin hu, iash min an olin min b'she'eno mino k'dekamart, hashtad yashmina min b'mino mishum de min b'mino hu. So, and Rav Yehuda says, look, it's blood and blood, it's min b'mino. And again, the Gemara says, v'dilma adika min b'mino v'olin. And the Gemara just simply presents the same question. Why not say that you need both criteria? I need min b'mino, and I need it to be a carbon. And again, the Gemara says kasha. So in other words, the Gemara says, look, they both get it from this pasuk. The Chachamim point to the fact that it's karban, and that's what makes it that there's no bittul, but otherwise there will be bittul. And Rav Yehuda points to the same pasuk and says, look, it's min b'mino. The fact that it's min b'mino means that there's no bittul.
If there's no bittul, why doesn't he say that both comets and the mincha are acceptable since there's...
Okay, hold. Right? Excellent question. Tomorrow we'll start with your question.
I won't be here.
come back tomorrow. I'll have it on tape. Okay, it'll start. That's your question. So tomorrow we'll start with that question. Okay, le'ilui nishmas Rivka Leia bas Shimon Zimel. Hashem Hashem to continue to Leah. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Rasta Kosh Baruch Hu Zaki Sofi Chachir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenem Anecha Fitz Matzikol Yagdil Torah V'Yedir.